Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, listeners. This is Patty Black. I am back bringing the good news show to you. Today is Monday morning, March.
This is January 15th.
And well, we're just so happy to bring the good news show to you. We're going to have a very special guest today. Her name is Joyce K. Reynolds, and Joyce is an expert business coach. She's been quoted in many, many, many places. The New York Times, The Wall Street Journal, Chicago Tribune, Smart Money, Harvard Management Communications, USA Today, CareerJournal.com, the Orlando Sentinel, the Miami Herald, Sales and Marketing Management, American Airlines Magazine, Florida Trend Magazine. So the list goes on and on and on. So we're very excited to have her with us today. Before we bring her in, I'd like to bring my co-host in, Sherry. Sherry, are you with us?
I'm here. Good morning, everybody. And good morning, Patty. We're very happy to have Joyce with us this morning. You know why? Because we're in the middle of all this, what we're going to be talking about. She is an expert business coach, and there are so many questions that I have for her. And this is a lot of the things that a lot of our friends and family are all going through right now, and this is something we need to hear about, we need to talk about. So what I want to say to you is, if you want things you never had, you will have to do things you have never done. And then we will take it on to Joyce as soon as she's on.
That's a very good statement. Words of wisdom, Sherry. Thank you. So, listeners, if you want to send an email or have a question that you'd like to send Joyce, send it to the Good News Show at goodnewsshow@yahoo.com. That's GOODNEWSSHOW@yahoo.com. And I just want to remind you that you can become a member of the Good News Show. All you need to do is go to www.goodnewsshow.us, sign up to be a member. When you do that, you can actually download the archived version of the shows to your iPod and take us on the go with you. Again, the website is www.goodnewsshow.us. for the United States. So I do see our guest calling in. Why don't we see if we can bring her in?
Good morning.
Good morning, Joyce. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the Good News Show.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
Great. I was just saying that there are so many things that we want to talk to you about, so I'm really excited you're here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure, and I really appreciate your opening remarks there, Sherry, about the times are absolutely right for us to take command of our lives in very different ways than we have in the past. So they're challenging times, but change is the order of the day, and courage and all those things that we'll talk about today will lead us on to success in this new recovery period.
Good. So why don't we start, Joyce, with just having you introduce yourself to our listeners and tell them a little bit about what you do.
Sure. I'm going to just give you a very brief synopsis of how I got to be what I call myself as an expert business coach. Some people call it what I do, executive business coaching. But I don't confine my coaching to a certain practice, so I kind of try to cover the whole gamut with my titling. Coach is fine because I do one-on-one coaching with individuals who are in career change as well as CEOs and senior execs. So it's a broad-based practice. It's very holistic. And the way I got to this chair is really the story that I encourage other people to write down for their own journey. I started out, I had a degree in sociology that I combined with my writing skills, and I went out to the world and early on in my career became a writer, moved into advertising work, and actually did a lot on the creative side before I realized I had a lot of business acumen, and then I switched over onto the business side. That was sort of a jump shift that doesn't normally occur, but I started understanding that I was a very whole thinker. So I had both left brain and right brain at my access, and that was a nice observation for me to make. I subsequently went from being on the client side to being on the service side, so I got to know corporate America at very high levels. I left corporate America as a senior vice president of communications international for a New York City-based firm. And I got the entrepreneurial, I want my own business bug badly enough that I made the plunge, and I for a period of time in New York City, had a very successful small film business, special interest film business. And I did very well for a brief period of time, but to be honest, I wasn't able to sustain that business. I ran right into the recession in 1987. And finally had to let go of that dream. But out of the whole journey, the thing that's been so beautiful for me is that's sort of at the very front end of my coaching business, my coaching practice, because what I did was at that point take a look at my entire career to date, what I had loved doing, what I didn't want to ever do again, what I longed to still learn to do, and I accumulated all that and kind of stacked that up against my experience, and I said, what does this look like? What exactly is this telling me I should be doing with my life? And frankly, I did what I encourage all my clients to do, and that is invent themselves. Describe what they really want to be. Forget about what the world wants to call them or what job might be open. Find out what you really want to be for yourself. And out of all that, I started doing the work I'm doing today. In those days, there was no title out in the business world called coach. Nobody was doing that. That didn't come along until the around 1995, and I went, oh, I said, this is new, but this is actually what I do. So in short, that's the story of how I got to be a business coach. I call myself a forward observer. For those who understand the military term, I've been out there in the world. I've found out where all the landmines are. I've lived to tell this story. I come back and I lead my clients out of the wilderness if they're willing to go. You know, if they're willing to avoid those landmines, I can tell them a lot of where they are. But the story really is about staying tuned into who you are, finding out what it is that you love to do, eliminating the things that you don't want to do any longer, and invent yourself every day. It's a lot of fun.
So that's great. Let's just get into the nuts and bolts of things a little bit. And now that people are in this process of job hunting, and I know you also talked about being overqualified for a job and how to get it anyway. And what can you say about that?
Yes, I actually was recently asked to write a story for the Wall Street Journal blog on that topic. And really what their question was what do people who are out of work, highly qualified people who are out of work, what do they do? How do they get back into the workforce if they're perceived as being too high for a job? And some of my comments were that, you know, we can tone down our resumes. We can take the titling off. We can do certain things that will allow us to get in the door. If we are coming from the frame of mind that what we really want to do is use our talents and our skills and provide a livelihood for ourselves and our families without letting our high level perhaps get in the way, using our experience to good, because, you know, the job today is to get in the door for the interview. It always is. But in particular today, if you're trying to overcome hurdles like you're overqualified, you just need to find a way to language yourself so that you're not intimidating and that you really make it an invitation for companies to have somebody that has really terrific, exceptional skills, maybe more than what they need, but that also will bring those with a degree of humility, blend into where they can fit in on the team. And then when there's opportunity for them to grow inside that organization, they're on the ready. It makes it a win-win for the company. It makes it a win-win for both parties.
Right. And, I noticed it with a lot of my clients that are talking about getting work, and now everything seems to be on the computer, and it's very hard, not even often that you get a face-to-face interview. And when you do, they don't call you back, and they take your resume, and you don't hear from them again. And a lot of my clients have been talking about how frustrating it's been.
Well, and you bring up a very important point, and that is, you know, I used to think about this whether it was on a personal or a business matter. You know, I was very sure in some cases that I was I was right for a particular job, and I would stand and knock on that door and knock on that door and knock on that door until my knuckles were bloody, and I never turned around to see if there was another door. And so what I've learned over the years is, you know, we do our best. We have to live in understanding what the world is about, but in a sense of belief in ourselves that we're going to find the right place. So that means we have to stay on the move. You know, we can't keep pressing. If people are not responding, we have to do the responsible thing. We have to really evaluate what our paperwork looks like. We have to evaluate what our communications look like. We have to check in with people and say, do you think I'm languaging this correctly? You know, we have to know that there's a lot of nuance, you know, but that's where your expertise, where my expertise, where, you know, people can really help us language better so that we get the callback, we get put into that pool of possible employees. But you can't get frustrated and say nobody ever answers my emails, or it's all about electronic. We have to go with what's out there today. And you know, if we stay in our own belief system, if we really know who we are, we're going to find that chair. You know, I always say, you know, a lot of people, if we would just shift over one chair, everybody would be in the right job. You know, because some people hang on to the wrong job for a very long time, and they deny the right person the job. We just have to leave those openings in our mind so that we are not trying to force ourselves into the wrong place, but that we keep moving. We keep every opportunity is a possibility for us, but we don't hang on to this is going to be it. We just keep moving. It does take a lot of courage. It does take a lot, and that's why we have to get support systems around us. It's very important to do that because we can get discouraged. This is a tough market. There's no question about it.
Yeah, and so how can a person handle the unemployment? I mean, people are unemployed like 6 months, a year, and what is a way that they can handle by staying, you know, and staying positive and motivated? And what do you say?
Well, there are a number of things that people can do, and look, this is not to discount the fact that people can fall into depression and discouragement and all manner of, but you know, there are certain safeguards that we can put into place that will prevent us from becoming so debilitated by our not earning up to standard or not having a place in the business that we had primarily had or whatever the case may be. There are a couple things. One is that we have to routinely get out of our own dilemma. That means service. That means sometimes we have to help others when we ourselves need help, whether it's turning to somebody else that's also unemployed and being there for them and saying, okay, tell me how you're feeling today. Maybe I can help you. Letting them bounce off ideas or just absorbing their sense of sorrow or discouragement and being there to be the shoulder for, you know, 5 or 10 minutes and say, okay, now we've had it. Now let's get back on the trail together. You team up with other people. It's better if you team up with somebody that's employed, even though that might bring up some envy or some feelings of low self-esteem. Those are all things that we have to grapple with, but we want to stay attached to people who are successful, who are employed, who can really support us through our time of difficulty. You know, we each have our turn. We cannot just sit there and say, oh, poor me, I can't get a job, I'm running out. And fear, of course, has to be addressed. We have to address our fear. It's going to be there, but we have to find tools to fight that fear, and a lot of that is getting out of ourselves. I always encourage people also to be productive in ways that are not. I do not like to see people take jobs in their own field at a lower grade. I don't really like to see that. I prefer to have people look at other areas where they have less experience. If they're going to take a low-paying job or a lower-paying job for an interim period, go do something that you've never done before that might be fun. Go look into the environments that you really would enjoy working in, being in. Take a job maybe in those fields where they're not going to be so critical of your high expertise as how it may look too overqualified in their marketplace. So we have to be creative. We have to remain optimistic. We have to set aside time and ask for what I call action partners. To, you know, you have a time that you say, you know what, I really need to tell you, I'm scared right now, I need your encouragement, can I just talk to you for 10 minutes and unload that? You unburden yourself, you ask for some support, and then you go on and do something productive. Because you have to get rid of that stuff. You don't want it rolling around in your body or your head or any other thing. So it's about managing ourselves during the downturn. That's really what this is about.
Yeah, and going out and exercising and taking care of yourself and doing all the things that really serve your well-being and your, you know, keeping you in a balanced state, even though you're in the middle of all this.
Absolutely, and that is so life-giving. It is so important what you just mentioned, that mind, body, spirit, that whole thing. You know what? If we're not paying attention to the way we eat, that is one of the worst things we can do. If we are fearful and stressed and we don't rest, that is really, I tell people all the time, you know what, if you can't sleep at night, get a good book next year, and it doesn't matter whether it's a novel, whether it's a spiritual piece, doesn't matter what it is, just refuse to let your mind run roughshod over you and continually turn the light on and read. Believe me, you'll go back to sleep in 5 minutes. You really will. Better to nourish yourself with good optimistic stuff, but to not let worry fester. And so if you're able to get the energy together that comes from eating right and doing a certain amount of exercise and not letting, and tell people if you're having a hard time doing it, you know, don't hide out. A lot of people go into isolation when they're in these bad times. They go, you know, they don't want to admit that they're having, well, let's face it, there are so many people now that are in, you know, top people. Nobody's immune to this. So there's no reason to feel like a, quote, loser. We're all in this together, and it's hitting a lot of people. So, you know, there's no reason to hide out. Tell your friends and family and employed colleagues, whatever. You need their support and help. Everybody wants to know what they can do to help. Be specific. Say, you know what, call me every morning and ask me how I'm doing, or call me every other day, or just take my call when I tell people exactly what would help you. You know, I can remember times when I was really down and I thought, you know, I thought, oh, my God, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I might have been in one of the interim periods where my business was about to collapse. And I would say to people, don't ask me what I've read lately or who I've talked. Just tell me I'm going to make it. And somebody would just say, you know what, you're going to make it. You are going to make it. And, you know, I believe them. Now, that might sound odd that I'm putting words in somebody else's mouth, but you know what? That's exactly what I needed to hear. That person kindly, lovingly supplied it, and you know what? I'm here today to tell you it worked.
Right. Well, one of the things that I always worked for me was positive affirmations and being able to see yourself. And, you know, it sounds quirky because, I talk about on the show a lot about how to do this and how to, you know, like, be grateful before it happens and stay in that mode of gratefulness and visualize and the affirmations. I mean, so many times I've said affirmations that I didn't even believe myself, but
yeah.
I kept saying it. And then all of a sudden, there it was happening.
Sure. Well, absolutely. And, you know, sometimes that's hard to do, but, you know, if we can't get to that place where we can envision good things, because, you know, some of us are worriers. Some of us are actually addicted to worry. I will tell you something. There were years where I felt like my job was to worry because I didn't have a real job, you know, and I thought, well, who wouldn't worry if they're in this? You know, it's my job to worry. I'd be crazy if I didn't worry. And you know, I tell you, somebody said one day, it was really hilarious, he said, you know, worry is a meditation on garbage. And I thought, you know, that is so right. It is so right. You know, we have to force our minds. We have to discipline our minds. If the least that we can do is get into a neutral zone and just quiet our minds, that does it. But to continually chew on things and worry about stuff, that's fine. You know what they say is what you focus on is what manifests.
Right.
So, you know, even if we just do a lot of distracting, I mean, I would walk down the streets in New York City and I was going worry and I was looking down the sidewalk and I couldn't stand it and I thought I was going to run in front of a taxi to kill myself. I'm telling you, all kinds of nutty things came into my head. And I'd finally go left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. I just kept left foot, right down the street to drown out those other voices because I knew if I didn't do that, I was going to be in trouble. You know, we cannot let our minds run away with us. We have to be courageous. We have to stand up to that negativity. It's sitting there waiting for us. We all too often accommodate it. So we've got to fight against that. We've got to take care of ourselves.
Right. And which is one of the things that you said is needless worry.
Pardon me?
You were talking about needless worry.
Yeah, needless worry. You know, I used to think, well, and looking back on it now, I think what I was really trying to do, I think I was trying to prepare myself for the worst. You know, that seemed like an intelligent strategy. Well, if I know what I'm going to, you know, if this happens, then I'll know what I'm going to do. Well, what a jolly way to live. You know what? I'll tell you something. Will Rogers, or one of the other older sages in life, said, you know, he worried about many, many things in life, only a few of which came to pass. You know, it's like, why do we put ourselves through stuff that may never happen, then it might as well have happened? So we have to just talk smart to ourselves and say, wait a second, why am I going to put myself, it's bad enough if I have to go through that, if it happens. Why prepare myself for it, go through it, and it never happened? You know what I'm saying? It's like
right. It
is just an incredible thing, but we have to intelligently speak to ourselves and say, wow, you know, why would I need to prepare myself for the worst when the worst may not happen?
Right.
And in fact, that we can sometimes ward off the worst by thinking the best. You know, we're very smart people. If the worst happens, you know what? We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
We'll know what to do.
The survival instinct kicks in. I know.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out. Yeah.
Exactly.
I really liked what you said about bringing it back to you were counting your footsteps, right foot, left foot, because it sounds like it brought you back to the now and what was going on at that instant. I know worry is, when we think of the future, that's where the worry kicks in. And it's like
Absolutely. We're
worrying about something that is out there that who knows if that day will ever come?
Yeah.
But what we have is today. Bring it back to
that's
today.
That's absolutely right. Keep your head where your feet are. Make sure in between your belly is full, so you're not starving. You know, you're not hungry and tired and weak and all those other things. That's that whole yes, absolutely, and stay in the present moment. And you know what? A lot of what we're talking about here is discipline. You know, it is absolutely a disciplined effort to stay well, especially in challenging times. Now, we have to really, really want to make it through. Because I'll tell you something. I've been rich. I've been broke. I've never been poor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a mental state of mind. And I refuse to go there.
Yeah.
And it can happen again. You know, I could lose. You know, who knows? We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But for today,
mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm going to live in the abundance and prosperity that's around me. Maybe it's not to the level that I want it to be, but that's why I'm doing the work I do. That's why I'm living tomorrow, because, you know, there's more. There's always more.
Right.
And you talk about facing yourselves and, you know, having higher expectations of ourselves.
Yes. Not unreasonable, but certainly higher, meaning that we always want to know that, I am the most interesting person I'm ever going to know. You are the most interesting person you're ever going to know, you know, because we're inside there. We know everything that's going on. We can't ever know anybody else as well as we can know ourselves if we allow that.
Right.
If we allow that. And to me, the most robust life comes from saying, I want to know all aspects of myself, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I want to know it all because that's what's going to allow me to shape my best self, to always live more in the light than in the dark, because we have all that. You know, every person in this world, and I don't care if they're a named saint, it doesn't matter who it is, they have their dark side. We all do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can see that spilling around the world all the time. And our best job is to find out what those dark parts are so that we can start dimming the lights there and bringing ourselves over to the light, you know, and shed more on the other side. And that, like I said, it takes a lot of work, it takes a lot of discipline, but it's like everything else. You build that muscle and you automatically go, wow, I'm feeling really scared right now, or I'm feeling really depressed or down. I'm going to do something about that. I'm going to call my action partner. I'm going to step outside and breathe the air. I'm going to pet my cat. I'm going to make sure I've had a good lunch. Those are the self-sustaining, self-respecting things that we must do on a daily basis, most urgently when we're not in good, you know, financial or employment situations. It's urgent that we do that stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, Joyce, when you say seeing the glass half full.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, you know, we have a choice. And who, looking at, you know, you put a glass on the table, how do you know? Is that half full or is it half empty? It's our perception. You know, how do we look at it? We say, well, I've got assets. I've got benefits here that come from my experience and my background. I don't have to look at, wow, you know, they're not answering my email. They're not calling me back. There's so many people out of work. No. We think, you know what, maybe it's more easily put this way. I used to say, like most people, I hate war. You know, who wouldn't hate war? Who doesn't hate war? Well, you know, some days I wonder, but, you know, it seemed like a smart thing to say, I hate war, until I realized it's much better for me to say, I love peace. I really love peace. You know, so there's that glass half full.
Yeah.
You know what
I like
I'm saying?
That.
You know, the other thought has merit, of course. You know, I want to reject war, but the fact is, it's when I love peace that I'm really going to have positive energy on it, and that's the glass half full.
Mm-hmm. Beautifully put. That's great. So one thing I wanted you to talk about, which I found interesting, is you say there's the downside of being one tough cookie. What does that mean?
Yeah, well, I used to that. And, you know, when I was a kid, my dad, he was a tough cookie himself. He used to, you know, he thought we had to face the world as, you know, like absolutely nobody could reach us, nobody could defeat us, and be courageous at all times and stick that chin out and let them beat on us. And so I thought, well, I had to be a tough cookie. I mean, I really thought that for many, many years. And you know what? When I got on the spiritual journey and I wanted to really know my whole self, I started realizing that I had lopped off a whole part of my being, because I was so tough that I didn't want to ask anybody for help. I can do it myself. No, thank you. And you know what? You can wind up very alone that way. And it can be a very innocent journey into that territory, that lonely territory. And so finally I understood, you know, people reach out and ask you if you want help, and you say, no thanks, I can do that, because either you think you don't deserve it, or you're ashamed to accept it, or whatever. Whatever that reason is, get rid of it. When people offer help, take it. It's a blessing to give and receive. I didn't know that. I didn't know the joy. I mean, I've been giving all my life, and I never understood. Well, wait a second. I'm getting everything by giving, and I'm not letting anybody do that for me. So we have to understand that reaching out for assistance is as much a gift to the giver as it is to ourselves. So, you know, and people, believe me, there are so many people out there that need help and will receive it and want the love and support. If you keep saying no to friends and family that want to help you, if you keep rejecting offers of help, they're going to go to someone who wants it. So I suggest to people, invite in the appropriate and loving help that people are offering. Don't hide in a dark corner. Get out there and say, thank you, I would love your help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, receiving help is, and asking for help is difficult for many people.
Yes, yes.
Interesting.
And until you realize that if you have, you know, I doubt that there's a person on the planet that hasn't helped somebody. And if they'll just go to that little moment in time to realize how great that felt, they felt wonderful to be able to help somebody that they cared about. I mean, we're denying our friends and family and other people that beautiful moment if we won't take their help. If they choose us and say, I'd like to help you, or they extend a kindness and we refuse it, wow, that's painful. That's painful on the other side. We're hurting other people by doing that.
Right, right. It's almost like, in a way, giving the gift of allowing them to help. So
that's correct.
To feel a sense, a good positive feeling from that.
Yes, because I tell you, the time will come, no matter how low we get, no matter how dark, you know, I always say, we all heard the saying, when one door closes, another door opens, but it's hell in the hallway. It's dark, and it can be long, and it can be, oh, my God, where's the door? You know, where's the other door? You know what? The door will appear. It will appear. Sometimes we have to turn around. The door's on the other side. We have to keep moving around in that hallway and feel our way and trust and feel the warmth of other people's help leading us forward to that light. We'll find it. But to not shut ourselves down, to not add self-unkindness to the whole situation, it's just, we cannot do that. We must reach out to the big world. There are people ready to help and love us.
Yeah, and you said a big word of trust, because, you know, in just being able to know that, you know, we're at the exact place that we need to be, and everything is exactly the way it's supposed to be, and know that, you know, if we go into that feeling of trust and know that we're not alone, and sit with ourselves, be able to, you know, just quiet the mind and sit for a while, things just open up. You know, there's the little voice that comes out and says, you know, why don't you call this person, or, you know, why don't you do this? It's amazing how that kind of stuff works.
Yes, and you said something very, very important. You know, I frankly, when you're in a bad spot, the last thing you want to hear somebody say is, you're right where you're supposed to be. You want to deck them. You want to say, well, fine, then you sit in this chair if you think it's so great, you know?
Yeah.
But the real job is not to go to somebody that's going to say that to you, because sometimes it's hard, but to know it inside your heart and soul on a very productive level. Because I will tell you, out of every darkness that I have faced, and I have been through a lot in my life, I have really, really been through a lot, I have now got the sturdiness to say, when things are really painful and difficult and challenging, to say, please let my higher self teach me what I can take from this experience. It's not like I'm supposed to be there, meaning I deserve this hardship or any such thing. It's just, I am here. I am here. Therefore, I need to learn from this place. And the more quickly we learn and ask for the lesson, the more quickly we'll learn it and get out. So it takes a lot of courage, but you know what? It's that accountability and say, okay, I'm here. I don't have to like it, but I sure want to learn from it. That's where we start getting victory over those times that are difficult.
Right. What is the lesson here for me?
Yes. What can I learn? What can I take away from this? How can I improve my life now that I've gone through this? Not in a punishment way, not like you deserve to be going through this. No, it has nothing to do with that. It just is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to make that back to the glass half full.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it does shift your vibration, too, when you get into that thought process of being, you know, open and allowing, and it is what it is, and it shifts you from a down cycle to higher vibration, and then the higher vibration is where you want to be.
Absolutely, absolutely, because you know what? The pain is not in the pain. The pain is in the resistance to the pain.
Right.
You know, we fight. We
right.
don't want to face how difficult. You know, if we just say, look, this is where I am, instead of fighting it, and that's what you're saying. I mean, that's exactly where you arrive, at that shifted consciousness. You stop fighting things, and you accept. And I don't mean accept like on a negative note, but you say, here's where I stand. I'm accountable. I have tools. I can take myself out of this victim thinking of like this was supposed to happen and go, I don't like this. but I know I can learn something from this. I can be a stronger, better human being, and I want to know. And if you just find that little grain, that's the thing that's going to turn into the beach. You know, that first little grain of sand.
Yeah, you know, like people say, well, why me? Why is this happening to me?
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, why not?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it could be you, it could be anybody, you know. But,
yeah.
You know, we're believe me, even on the down cycle, we're in a lot of good company, you know. If there's any benefit in that, it's the fact that we can no longer say, oh, poor me, because, you know, a lot of people are in the same circumstance, and it's the way of the world right now. But the sturdy will survive, and we will recover from this. One day at a time, one moment at a time, it doesn't matter, as long as we pick up the tools and we force ourselves to go into the glass half full. That's what we need to do. And if we can't do that, I always tell people, I say, the least you can do for yourself is go into neutral. As long as you're not in the negative, even if you just like la, 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 la in your head or right foot, left foot, it doesn't matter what you do. You refuse to stay in that negative territory.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. So, and the feeling burnt out, you mentioned something about that.
Yeah, burnout is a really, really tough challenge. I mean, and I work with people who have, really that have been so wildly successful, but they're burned out and they need renewal. And that's why I love the whole idea of reinvention. You know what? We don't need to wait till we're so burned out. If we are, if we're tired of what we're doing and we don't feel invigorated or we're frightened or any number of things can make us feel like we can't go on. But that's where the change comes in. That's where we go, okay, what little thing would make me feel alive again? What, you know, shift direction. It's sort of like, you know, we have to move on our own internal radar. It's like, you know what, if a pilot moves the radar on his plane a hair to the right or left, it's going to be the difference between arriving in Tokyo or London. That's what we have to do. It's a shift a little bit right or left in our thinking and say, okay, if I can't face doing this anymore, or I was at the top of my game and it wasn't satisfying, or I can't get back in there, we have to shift a little to the left or the right and say, what would reinvigorate me? What would I like to be doing? And focus on that, because that'll lead us gradually out of a place where we just don't think we can go on.
Wow, Joyce, you've really said a whole lot, and I can't wait to pass this on to so many people that are in this this situation that really need to hear what you've said. I thank you so much for that.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
We have a few minutes left. What I'd like for you to do is tell our listeners about your blog and your website and how they can reach you to get more information.
Oh, sure. I'd be delighted. I do have a blog. I must say I've been in the midst of some I'm moving and a couple of other things. I'm a little bit careless about writing on my blog, but there's still a lot of historical stuff there that is current, and I will be picking up and writing there again, but I definitely invite people to go there. The easiest way to get there is to go to www.businesscoachblogger.com. That's businesscoachblogger.com. They can also, if it's easier to remember, they can also go to my main coaching website. The easiest way to get there is to go jkr.net. I had to think for a minute because I've got a business coach address there as well. But that's the easiest way to jump on that site. Go to www.jkr.net, and then all my information is on there, my email, jreynolds@jkr.net. Easiest way to remember, Joyce K. Reynolds, JKR. So there's plenty of information on both. The blog is a really good place for people to go because I try to post messages on there that are really uplifting and thoughtful, that are, you know, a little bit different than the hardcore business stuff that's on my website. And I'm also on Twitter at BizCoachJKR. They can find me just by entering my name, and I send out occasional uplifting messages there. So lots of places to go, and I encourage people to do that. Get out there and find the positive. Have that stuff streaming into your computer. Ask your friends to call you and leave you messages. Reach out. Just don't sit there and feel bad about yourself. Get out there and understand your value. You're needed in the world. We, each one of us, are, or we would not be here.
Wow, that's just what we all wanted to hear. Thank you so much. We've really enjoyed having you on our show this morning.
Thank you. It's
you,
been
Joy.
A joy for me. You're welcome. My pleasure.
You have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow, that was really great, Patty.